September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Prague McGaw feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, premieres September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keith
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show.
Hello and welcome. Bing is for doing it. We are doing another episode here on AfterBuzz TV for Castle Season 5, Episode 1. I am Bam Erickson, and I want to introduce my other host.
Hi, guys. I'm Samantha Leach.
And I am Paige Sullivan.
And sitting next to me, not only is she one of my favorite actresses, but she is one of the co-stars for Castle. She plays Lani Parrish. You've also seen her in such movies as Blue Streak, The Wood, and Booty Call. Tamala. You know I had to go there. Those are my favorite movies.
Okay.
Tamala Jones. Thank you so much for being a guest for this is the first after show recap for Castle, and you're our guest, so it's an honor to have you here, so thank you.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, so let's go into it. It was a phenomenal episode, which I know you you did an interview last week, and you said that the opening for this season was going to be very sexy, very exciting, so I totally agree. It was sexy. It was exciting. It was very fun. And so everyone has been waiting to see if Castle and Beckett were actually going to hook up. And so what happens is they hook up and it's the morning after. And so what did you guys think about that?
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. We have been waiting 5 seasons for this to happen, and I think everyone saw it coming. Everyone's been rooting for them. Everyone wanted it. So I think, like, everyone's wishes were kind of answered just to start off the season.
I agree, but it seems almost too easy for these two, because Castle and Beckett, it never works this way. So when it's going this good, you wonder what's going to come next, I guess. And you want to see where this is going to progress, because they've been trying so hard to make something happen here, and everybody wants it to happen, so you feel like it can't last very long.
But also, there's been this cat and mouse game where he makes Castle make a comment, and she's like, you know, she kind of tells him, like, okay, in your dreams a little bit. So there's always been like this cat and mouse with the two of them, and then finally it happened, you know?
I mean, you have to kind of relate it to just a regular relationship, you know? Like, it's always about the chase, and it's always about the suspense and, like, I want it because I can't have it kind of thing, you know? So where is their relationship going to go now that they've had it, you know? What's next?
And they struggled even in this episode with people walking in on them and Beckett having to confront, you know, the case that she didn't want to anymore. She resigned from the force. She wanted to be done. So she's coming back now, and Castle's kind of egging her on and, you know, helping her through it. So it's kind of developing the relationship even more. It's so much more personal than it has been. It's been personal, but they're just taking it up a notch.
Mm-hmm. Now, in an interview sometime back in April, you know, you said that you had predicted that they were going to get together.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you like the outcome of their relationship and what happened for tonight's episode?
I loved it. I was like, it's about freaking time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm glad they got together. I'm not going to give away too much, but you're right. It can't be that easy. So
it's never that easy.
You're going to see some stuff later on in the season, and it's really juicy. But I did like how, you know, they had to hide from the mom. And then it was Castle's time to hide. And he was like, no, I'm not hiding. That's such a typical man. You guys, just, you know, one-sided.
But yeah. I do think that he should have hid. I do think that he should have played.
Oh, you're sweet.
Yeah. We got a keeper over here, ladies.
So what do you guys think is going to happen with their relationship? What do you think?
I mean, something has to happen. Like you both said, it can't be that easy. Mm-hmm. I personally can't see where the drama exactly is going to unfold, if it's going to be case related, and then that's going to be something that kind of messes the relationship. Or, I mean, we're going to have to stay tuned. I don't know.
Well, work and relationships are a tricky situation no matter who you are. So, and they butt heads every time there's a case, and that Castle's kind of being eccentric and over the top, and she is trying to bring him back down to earth. So I think that's going to be an issue for them working together and maintaining a relationship, because it's hard to keep those two lives apart when you're together the whole time.
Yeah, but I think so far in this episode, I think they work well together, because, you know, with her resigning after the whole ordeal in season four, she really was not really into it. And so he was really there to support her like a man would support his woman.
Yep.
And so I really thought,
are you trying to score brownie points over here?
No.
He's like a man should support his woman. That's right. Keep talking.
do you have this written down somewhere? What do you have over there? Like a cheat sheet?
I don't written down, but just some of the things that he was saying, you know, when they were talking about Michael Smith, which we'll talk about in just a second. Mm-hmm. But even when she was ready to give up, when Michael was not willing to testify or do anything, when they were outside downstairs, you know, he even said, you know, he needs a little more. He needs a little push. Mm-hmm. And so he was, you know, he was being basically what he's been doing for the past couple of seasons anyway. But now it's just official.
Yeah, but she kind of seemed to get her groove back at the end of the episode, like when she wanted to come back on the force. I mean, I think she's got her confidence and she knows what she's doing now. So I don't know how much she's going to rely on him.
You know what? Castle and Beckett are inseparable. I mean, even if they weren't together, he couldn't stay away. The bottom line to it is he's madly in love with this woman. And it's been this little cat and mouse game for a long time. And now he finally has her. And I think that he may not know what to do, you know, right now. It's like, oh my God, is she mine? So I think there's going to be that little pull with him. But I like the way that he was there for her tonight. It was a little bit more deeper than the other times. And I liked how he pushed her to go ahead and let's go through this, because this is it. If you don't get these guys, they're coming to get you. That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of favorite parts, but that was one of my favorite parts in there. And I like how Ryan and Esposito are still not speaking to each other.
Yeah, their relationship's still pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Michael Smith, because Michael Smith was the epicenter of tonight's episode. So let's dig a little into the history of Michael Smith. So what you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, he was always, I think, that person that everyone knew but didn't really know. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has been trying to figure out where he was going to come into play and why he was protecting Beckett. What was his reasoning behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to get a little bit more information during tonight's episode and a little bit of insight, and it kind of tied it all together by what they found out, it helped a little bit to realize what he meant to this entire story, you know?
Do you guys remember last season at the end when well, I guess not last season, but the season before, when Beckett almost died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you remember seeing him in the hospital?
Briefly.
It was like a little cameo of Michael being in there to kind of like tie him in up until now. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
I feel like I would have to go back and watch it.
I didn't catch it. I remember the hospital. I remember the scene, but I didn't catch it.
It was real quick. He was like passing by.
See, I don't remember that, but that's what makes this show so amazing, is because they're thinking about this, what you said, two seasons ago, and they've already thought about this. You know, when shows can keep me thinking and they already have something planned that I can't catch on to, is like, that's what makes me love a show. Mm-hmm. Is because to bring someone in like that, where obviously like we weren't like, oh yes, I remember exactly that moment. So for that to be that subtle, and then for him to have such a huge role in this show, I think it's just brilliant for the writing.
It was like building on him, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, I missed it too. He was in that season, and then the next season you get more and more and more, and today it was kind of everything. It was the climax of who Michael Smith is and what he means to this. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting if you really are paying attention and you kept a tally of every time you saw him or heard from him and what you heard from him. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have guessed this. I wouldn't have guessed this, but maybe if I'd paid more attention to it, I would have seen more coming from him.
That is the joy of the DVDs. You get to go back season one all the way up to right now and just put everything together. These writers that we have, they are such geniuses. And every time I open a script and read one, I'm like, really? Oh, my God. And you think you know what's going to happen and you don't. It's like they take you on these little curve roller coaster rides. And it's exhilarating.
I feel like you would learn even more every time you rewatched an episode, because there's so many things I miss, or we would pause and be like, what, did you catch that? That's probably important. So I think definitely rewatch some of the episodes if you really want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I totally agree. So now back to this Michael Smith character. And so one of the interesting things was when they found the picture of him when he was younger,
this is when
they had to go back. And I thought the writing on this was really amazing because, you know, there was an old picture of Michael. And so what they did was Castle realized that he had on this watch that was made specifically in 1981, the same year that Montgomery was married. And that's one of the things I like about Castle's character, is because he remembers the most, and from he remembers things that, like, who else, who cares about a watch?
Random,
like, how would he know?
Yeah.
How would he know that a watch was made in 1981, the same year that Montgomery was married? And so I thought that was, I just think the writing on this show is brilliant. How the backstory. I really, really love that. So
I really liked how the picture, especially because we saw Michael Smith in mm-hmm. the finale. Like, we know that he had called Beckett, I mean, not, excuse me, not Beckett, Castle, mm-hmm. because he was trying to protect Beckett. And then to see this picture, I think at the beginning of the episode, we were all trying to place, like, who is this other person? Who is this picture that they're looking for? Because not knowing that how many years later that was the guy that we had already met, but the picture was so old that obviously it didn't register right away until they started digging up all the clues and you're like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. this is this guy now. This is how long this has really been going on, you know?
Exactly. It's a huge case she's been working on. I mean, this is like mm-hmm. her life. This is the most important thing to her mother, and, you know, not getting revenge, but really finding closure and solving mm-hmm. this and mm-hmm. ending it for herself and her mother alone. So I think when you put all those pieces together, she needs Castle there to help her find a guy like Michael Smith. She couldn't have done that. She wouldn't have really been looking at that watch and saying, let's see who bought that watch. Let's see who's wearing that watch.
And they also work well together, because once he discovered the watch was made in 1981, then she was the one who was able to go a little bit further. He always kind of gives that little piece of information that she needs, and then she's always able to take the little information that he gives, and then she can just totally run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so after they discover that the watch was made in 1981, then they discover that the watch, there were 19 the watches that were given during some type of lawsuit, and then which they were able to track down who Michael Smith was based off of the 19 lawyers, or the 19 people that were given the watches.
Right.
And so there was this just whole, there was all these different clues that I thought was just really interesting, which drives this show. And I think it's just really cool. What do you guys think about that?
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's very smart that the way that they write Castle, because he is a mystery book writer. Mm-hmm. He writes mysteries, so detail is everything to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's how he's able to point out the things that that Beckett might miss being a detective, because mm-hmm. a detective, you're trained to look and study certain things, but it's those fine details that it may take a murder mystery book mm-hmm. writer to mm-hmm. help you find. And that's the dynamic I love between those two.
He's got the imagination.
Yeah. He does.
Something that detectives don't have. They want the proof. They want the mm-hmm. evidence.
Right.
And he's outside the box.
And, you know, the girls and I, we were talking about how when he first, in season one, he was a part of this because the murders were based off his books.
Right.
And so now that the murders aren't based off his book, he's still relevant. He still needs to be used because, like you said, he finds those clues that those detectives need because the detectives have their whole thing is different from him, and he's very specific, he's very detailed. And so although the murders are not based off his books anymore, he's still relevant and he's still needed to help Castle Ryan Esposito.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like what Paige, what you said about almost him seeing like the creative side of it,
mm-hmm.
because instead of putting the clues together, what Beckett does so well, he can almost like write the crime before it happens because he's like, what little detail is going to make this so interesting, you know, like to put detail into a watch like this episode, you know, how that would lead you somewhere. He sees that because that's how he would want the story to go, where she sees it like, this is what I have. Where can I go with this?
Right.
You know, so if he leads her up to the clues, like you had said, bam, she will just run with it. You know, she can get you there. So it's really great to see the way that they work together.
I thought Seamus did an excellent job tonight. He plays Detective Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. I mean, you saw the panic in him. You saw him wanting to help figure this out. He came to her and he was like, look, I need you to look at this. She's like, I'm done. He was like, no. And every time something went wrong, he was clicking that phone, honey. He was trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I loved how Esposito was just a badass tonight. He was so tough. He looked kind of sexy to me as Tamla, not as Lainey. I was like, damn. But, I mean, it was just, the show was just great.
It was. It was Ryan, Detective Ryan, though you could tell he's trying to kind of win his spot back. You know what I mean? He didn't betray them, but it kind of felt like it at the end of last season. So now it seems like he's, you know, playing the best friend card. He's like, I'm doing this and I'm doing it well. So that was kind of good to see. But you kind of want them to mend their friendship, Ryan and Esposito. You really, they're buddies. You don't want to see them fighting.
I do like that. I do want them to go back and be in buddies, but maybe a couple more episodes. I like you said, Esposito, he's like a really badass.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to see how this is going to go before they make up and become friends, because obviously that's going to happen. But, you know, hold off on a couple more episodes for me at least, and just kind of see the two of them kind of go at it. You know, that's you know, that's what I think.
I think it will, because you have the two different dynamics in those characters. One is all about sticking to the rules, playing by the book. And then Esposito is like, look, damn the book. I'm going to go to my military friend and you're going to do a favor for me. And he's like, I could lose my job. And he's like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
This guy shot my friend, and I need to know who he is. So that's what broke up the friendship to begin with. Ryan sticking to the rules, and Esposito like, what do you mean, man? You're supposed to have my back on this, you know? So I think they'll be all right. But I like how they wrote that, you know?
I also think it's interesting, you know, great minds think alike, because Esposito runs into Castle and Beckett at the old bank. And so just when they had got the information in regards to the watches and all the information, you know, great minds think alike. They were all there. And so once Castle and Beckett was found by Maddox, Esposito was right there, had his back, had their back. And unfortunately, so Maddox died. And so we were like, okay, they were this close to getting the file for the Montgomery file. And then it blows up into pieces. Maddox is dead. And then Ryan comes and saves the day trying to get back into the clique. And he has this big bag of shredded paper. And then they all work cohesively as a happy family again to come up with the clues to try and find the bank account number, which I thought that was just so cool. But
the worst puzzle ever.
Yes, I could not imagine having a bag of shredded paper and them coming up with the account number.
That is part of forensic science today. That right there. People who do crimes, let's say white collar crimes, they'll try to shred all the paper up so you can't read. And, you know, the police will go in there and empty that shredder and put the pieces together and see a whole page. So I love that they displayed that. that is a big part of forensic science right now.
So shredding?
Paper shredding, trying to erase everything from your hard drive. We can go in there, get everything out, see what you try to delete. It's a trace. You cannot get away with anything these days, thanks to forensic science.
Very true.
Keeping people honest. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to put that paper together.
So. Yeah.
And I have to say, in that scene in particular, when they are trying to place everything together, we mentioned kind of like whose role is what, like how they all kind of have their own relationships with everyone and they all have their own role. But to still see them come together, regardless of how they act and what their ideas are about each situation, they can still come together and they still get their stuff done. You know, they still figure everything out. And because they think so differently, they all see a different aspect of a crime or of clues. You know, like we had said, Castle comes up with the creative, you know, and just kind of putting it together. Like Beckett, she can finish up on it. Like it just is really great to see like the family unit and how they all fit together and just they're just there. They're the puzzle that fits together.
I agree. Really quickly, iTunes. I just want to stress the importance of iTunes. So for all of you guys that are listening or watching, please go to iTunes. Please download all the AfterBuzz episodes. It's totally free. It only takes a couple seconds. And you download it and you rate and comment. And then it really helps the AfterBuzz network. So if you guys can go to iTunes, download and rate, comment, tell us what you think. And also there's this new app called The Podcast. And what it does is it organizes all of your subscriptions. So if you have Castle or the LA Complex or America's Best Dance Crew or just whatever show that we have on AfterBuzz, it organizes all the subscriptions that you have. So again, iTunes, download, rate, and comment. Tell us what you think. And then please download the podcast app. Okay?
All right. Tell a friend.
Yes, and tell a friend. Okay? All right, so let's go back. So we've talked about Michael and we've talked about Michael and we talked about Castle and Beckett. Let's talk about the clues to Senator Bracken.
Good clues tonight.
Yeah.
Each clue led to the next one too in order, which obviously it's how you solve the crime. Mm-hmm. But it started with the watch, like we had been talking about. Yeah. We said the details of how they were given out and this was the year and how they found it, which took us to Michael Smith, who was a member of the Yacht Club board, correct?
Yes.
That's how they found him, which took us actually directly to Michael Smith when he was already found by Maddox. He was still alive in his house, I believe, right?
Where
he was
found. Yes, in Connecticut.
He was still alive, and he murmurs out 86. That's what he tells Castle. He doesn't get to the next word before they have to rush him off to the ER, but 86 leads us.
And it was like 86 and
86 and go to the ER.
Yeah.
So obviously then Castle, he can't let that go, you know? And Beckett, she's like, there's nothing here. They're going through all their files. Castle's like, no, this has to mean something. We can't let this slide, which again is him being that person for her that she needed in this episode. We're not giving up on this. This means something. He wouldn't have chosen that number, that one thing to say to me before he could he's bordering death right now, you know, rushed into the ER. If he's saying that, that means something and we need to go with it.
Yeah, and it's one of those times. I like how you can still laugh. This is, you know, it's not happy things that are happening. People are dying. There's crimes. This guy's just been beaten severely. But Castle always makes you laugh when he's doing the thing. That could have meant anything.
Right.
But he used that to his advantage. And it also, it keeps me coming back to the show, you know. A show that's all about crimes wouldn't necessarily have the biggest appeal. And the humor that he brings into finding the clues in every step of the way keeps me wanting to watch more of what's going to happen.
And so we find out that 86, it was 86 and Market was the actual clue.
Markwell, yeah. Markwell Street. I think it was Markwell Street, was it? Or was it Market? Street.
Okay, a Market or something of the effect, and so they find the mailbox.
Yeah, it was. We found out that it was Smith's property.
Yes,
and then when we get there, we found out that it's 10 stories tall, of course, because why would it be a one-story building? That would just be way too simple. And they run into the mailboxes, right, which took them to Unit 523.
Yeah.
So they're getting a little bit closer, and unfortunately, who shows up? Maddox is there, of course. So he thinks Beckett and Castle, oh, that was so nice of you. You just helped me out because I didn't know where to start. The only thing he knew was that it was in a floor safe because that's what Smith told him.
Yeah.
But we also found out that that's why he didn't kill Smith completely. He just left him half dead because if he couldn't find the safe, he needed to have somewhere to go back to.
Right. And then he said that he would finish Castle off once once he gets those files for the Montgomery files.
Because that's what he needs.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs those files.
But how creepy was it, like, after Maddox had, you know, tied Beckett and Castle up, and they're in the bathroom, and Castle finds that little screw, and he's trying to, like, saw them out of there, and they're, like, hearing these footsteps, and he was like, we should have done this 4 years ago. And then it's Esposito, done what 4 years ago? You know, like, what are you guys talking about?
I love that part, though, because it saved me. My adrenaline, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What is he going to do? Is he going to come? Is he going to kill one of them? Is he going to hurt him? Who's he taking? What's going to happen? And then for Esposito to just kind of lighten it and then be like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Do what 4 years ago? Well, I was like, okay,
yeah.
Let's move on to the next scene now.
Exactly. You know they're okay for a little while.
Yeah.
You just want to see where it's going to go from there. So that was a nice chance of luck for Beckett and Castle right there.
Yes, it was. And then when they got to 523, and they're creeping around the corner, and they tell Maddox to freeze, and he's got Beckett's gun, he's got his gun, and you could tell, like, something's getting ready to happen. That explosion was explosive. I was not expecting that.
How did that go on set, by the way? Like, how did people react to that? That had to have been, like, a full-on... That was not computerized kind of thing going on.
No.
That was explosives that happened in that scene.
We have some of the best special effect makeup people and special effects people I've ever worked with in my entire history of working in this business. And it's been a long while. But that was real explosion. Real explosives. No one was there when that happened.
Right.
But you see how they had to cut. I'm giving secrets away. They had to cut away.
We love it. Keep them coming.
Cut away. And then you see smithereens just being blown up. But real explosions. And I think they had to do it like 10 times.
Wow.
I mean, they didn't even show what Maddox had looked like after that happened because it was that intensive an explosion that, I mean, you just knew that he was dead. They were like, he's gone. We can't even show that because it's on ABC. Like, people can't see that.
But what was also interesting is when the explosion happened, you didn't really see who was who because, you know, Castle and Beckett, they're both tall. And so all you saw was like a silhouette. So you only saw one. So I was thinking like, oh, gosh, OK, is it Castle, Beckett? Did one of them get hit? You know, I didn't really know who had gotten. I didn't know who had gotten hit. And then once I saw all of the paper in the air, then I kind of figured that Maddox was dead. But that was like one of those moments where it was like we were all looking at the TV like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Who would we lose here?
Well, definitely. And you were thinking Maddox was going to shoot them. I mean, he had his gun over his shoulder. So I did not expect an explosion whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's what caught me off guard the most. I expected a gunshot. I expected somebody to get hurt.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to happen the way it did at all.
Yeah. I agree.
That was great.
And then to see that it destroyed all the papers, it's like, no, they were so close.
So
they were so close to having something. And like, it wasn't even a good explosion. Like, okay, he's done. He's gone. Maybe if he doesn't find out about it, no one else is coming after Beckett. But he took everything with him, you know? So it's like, now where do we go from here? And then thankfully.
But, you know, one of the cool things is sometimes they're always close. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have to kind of start over from scratch. But again, that's just the four of them working together. When something falls, you know, one of them will have each other's back. And so Ryan came at the paper. And so they just started and continued going with what they were doing. So, again, just the four of them. I really like the dynamics of the four of them when they're working on a crime together.
Yeah. And I love that the show does that too, because you think real life and it's not going to fall into play like that. Just like, oh, here's the file.
Right.
Oh, it explodes. Mm-hmm. The bad person dies. And then here's all the answers. You know, it's not going to go like that in every case. So to show how things can go wrong and how you can still recover from it and how there's other ways to get you to your answer, I think is really smart on the writer's part, because This is what, like you said, forensic scientists, they have to do, detectives, they have to do. This is everything that they're thrown with on an everyday basis that they can't just be like, oh, well, there it goes. Right. That's the evidence. Let's close the case, you know?
What did you guys think about once Beckett was going to Senator Brackett, what did you guys think about that last 10 minutes? I thought that was
fantastic. I thought he was such a penis. That's what I thought of Senator Brackett. I mean, like, to act like you don't know about any of this, and then she calls you out, and then he's still like, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. What I care about is my image. What I care about is what the people think. I'm going to be president. So power is everything. And who has the power? I mean, he was really like preschool, kind of a thing. And so when she got him, I was like, you go, girl. Yes. I thought that was good.
He's a politician. I expected that. He wasn't going to go down without a fight. I mean, I thought, you know, that's what politicians do. You know, he has a safe face. And so he was going to play dumb until the absolute last minute.
And she got him.
And not only did she get him, but she slapped the shit out. Oh my God. You got me cussing.
I said penis. That is a clinical word.
He just had a Michael Smith moment. It was like a, you know, Shrika. Yeah. She's not the
That's a clinical word. Now, that other word, there's number two.
My bad. I'm so sorry. But when she punched him in the face and said, now who has the power? And she looked at him and she said, you know, that's going to leave a scar. And so every time you see it, you will think of me.
Yeah.
And just powerful. So you could tell that she was totally back in the swing of things. And she was like, she was back at her best.
But could you imagine, like, facing someone that killed someone very close to you, let alone your mother, and then acting so coldly? Could you imagine how that would make you feel? Like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
I'm surprised she didn't kill him.
Me too.
I mean, you almost have to think, like, I want to do something worse than kill you, because I kill you, you're done suffering. You're gone. That's it. I want to make you feel so terrible that you will regret doing that to my mother for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to just have an easy out and you just be gone with it. You know, there needs to be some pain happening here.
Well, he has everything he wants. I mean, he took advantage of that money and he took advantage of his position. And I mean, he's on his way to being president. Beckett is still fighting the same battle she's been fighting. She's got fire in her. She is mad. Mm-hmm. And when you're mad, I think that's way more powerful than the power he has.
Oh, yeah.
The anger inside of her towards him and what happened to her mom is incredible.
But what did tick me off is when he starts telling that lame story about the kid and the mom and putting the pills in the child. I'm like,
That is what, like, it was so nice to see that, though, because that's what they're working with. Mm-hmm. That is how far these, like, manipulative, like, the politician in this story, what he is actually working with, that's what he thinks is, like, this is what I'm really working with. You know, this is what I'm trying to do. And it's, like, for you to turn that entire story around, what is wrong with you? This is not what this is even about. Let's get back to the basics here, you know? So for her to take the high road and for her to be, like, I'm not going to kill you and you are not, I have the power, I have the file, and I will lay everything out on the line if you don't protect. I'm going to make the same deal with you, and if you don't protect me and everyone that I care about, we can play this game. And I love that she did that. It showed so much power in her and her situation and the person that she is, because she didn't have to do anything physical to him. She did that because she needed, like, her own little, like, smack you around, just because I need to do something for myself. But I've got all the power that I need if you want to talk about power, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
She's got those files.
And it was a good whack, too.
Yeah.
It was a good whack.
Yeah. But it's almost better she's bluffing a little bit. You know, she doesn't really have the files. She has part of a file.
Part of a file.
That probably maybe, you know, isn't credible. Like she said, these are just numbers. These are just things. People don't know besides us what this is. So the bluffing pack, like part of it makes it even better.
Right. And detectives are always good at bluffing. How many times it, how many times did that hit? How many scenes she had to do to smack him? Do you know?
Oh, I wasn't there that day, but I mean, it looked so good. Like she enjoyed it every single time she had to do it.
You know, we have to do it a million times from different camera angles. So I'm sure it was a good 10, 15. She didn't really hit him, though, you know.
I know.
We have good stunt people there to teach you how to.
But we like to think that that really happens.
I mean, it looked like it felt good. Like, can I just say one thing?
Say what you want.
Stana is so freaking on fire this season. She was so hot today. I mean, with the meanness, the vulnerability. She just supermodel status. I told her that, too. I was like, girl, you looking good this season.
Her hair color was different.
Yeah.
It was different.
You know, if they're retracking from the night before, her hair was not that same color. I'm just saying.
Uh-oh, did you notice something?
You always have to notice things on women.
So was it darker, or do you think
lighter.
It was the lighting?
It was, no, it to
I
me.
I think it was a combo, because in the first scene, it looked way lighter, and I was like, how can they transition that? But then it does look like it still is a little bit lighter throughout the other scenes, but not as blonde as it looked in the first bedroom scene that they had.
Well, the first bedroom scene, she was soaking wet. I mean, if you want to get technical. I mean, she just come in from the rain. So, I mean, you know, give her hair a break.
Oh, no. When they woke up in the bed.
Oh, yeah.
When they woke up in the bed, yeah. But I have to completely agree with you, because when she's finally with Senator Bracken and she's holding the gun up and you can just see every emotion, like her face is twitching, her lips are quivering.
Yeah.
So for her to nail that emotion, like you feel the pain as if this really happened to her, and obviously it didn't. She's an actress, but for her to be that dead on and then just see the one tear fall from her face, you know, like, oh, you just feel for her.
And it was like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction to see me bawl right now.
Mm-mm.
I'm fighting these tears back. I'm mad that one dropped out of my eyes. So you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to pop you real good and let you know, you mess with me or anybody that I love, it's on you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I mean, how hard is it to hit that emotion? Like, especially, like you say, it's the hit. Like, they have to do it number of times. Like, it's not just like, bam, got it, let's move on, you know, which I mean, I'm sure is the case sometimes, but that has to just exhaust you to get to that place for every scene.
She's very good at it. We had she and I had some Lainey Beckett moments in a different episode recently, and there was some high emotion for her, and I, even when they said cut, you know, you guys can take a break, she didn't want to get up and leave, and I stayed with her. I mean, the girl is so solid. Like, she won't come out of that. She'll stay there, and every time they say go, she's ready. That's the thing about Stana that I love. She works hard, and she, and it's hard to, like, hold that emotion all that time and then go back to your regular life. I know I've had to cry sometimes in the car just to get it out, you know, when I've had scenes like that. But she's just an amazing actress and an amazing person all the way around. But she holds it. She doesn't let it go until they say we're moving on to the next scene.
Yeah, it's great to watch.
Speaking of moving on, so now we get toward the end of the episode, and she's going to obviously become a cop again. So she talks with Johnson, and she has to finish out her probation. But once she's done with probation, now she's back on the force.
Right.
And so we knew she was coming back at some point. So we knew that. So, you know, we knew that. So let me just do this really quick. So I have a read I want to do. So face it, we all love good comedy. It's human nature, for God's sake. So Fox is stacked with a lot of premieres starting tomorrow with Zoe D. She's back on the season premiere of New Girl. And just like that, she's laid off and she's looking for work. And then Family is a Funny Thing. So from the producers of New Girls, it's a new series critics are calling one of the year's best comedies. It's Ben and Kate. Then the season premiere of Then a New Girl keeps on rolling with another all new episodes. And then Mindy Kaling has a brand new office. It's a series premiere of a new comedy called The Mindy Project. And so if you're looking for a night of laughs, Fox has it on Tuesdays. It got you covered. It starts tomorrow, September 25th at 8 p.m. All right.
Heck yeah. People are not going to be leaving the couch for a couple hours right there. That's a solid lineup.
Yeah. But solid lineup was again tonight. We had Dance with the Stars, and we had Castle, and we got our special guest, Tamala. Okay, so now that we've kind of recapped Castle's the season premiere of season five, episode one, let's talk about you and let's talk about your character. So we missed you tonight. So we didn't see you on this episode. So I was a little bummed about that, being that you were going to be on the show. But we know that it kind of didn't make sense based on the story.
Right.
So let's just talk about your character just a little bit. So your character, you are the medical examiner.
Yes.
And one of the things that I like about your character is you come in there and, I mean, you just break down what happens, you know, how long they've been dead for, bruises and certain things. How difficult or easy was it to, you know, play this character?
Well, I got it down now, but I can tell you, I have a real great group of people that I work with that were very patient with me. Season one, season two, I used up a lot of tape trying to spew those medical terms out. It was difficult, but, you know, Seamus, who plays Detective Ryan, he helped a lot. He got me a book on medical examination and all of the Dr. Botten, the way he did autopsies. And then Andrew, he told me, you need to start watching Dr. G Medical Examiner. And I do love her. I also watch Forensic Files. I have a encyclopedia, medical encyclopedia and dictionary. So anytime those words come up, I'm in that encyclopedia dictionary looking it up because I have to know what I'm talking about. Right. But it's a lot easier now. Now it's like, okay, I could do this in my sleep. But it was a challenge, and I love a good challenge. And I got it down now. But it was difficult in the beginning, really difficult. I've never played a doctor before. I've always been someone's girlfriend or their wife, crazy girlfriend, breaking windows, smashing up cars. Like,
this won't go there because I've seen every movie that you've been a part of. And some of your characters, you are mean.
But I'm not in real life mean.
Oh, I'm saying the character. I'm just saying the characters that you played have been kind of mean. So
they have.
So I've been watching the show since season one. So when I first saw you, I was like, yes, because we got to see a totally different side of you. And it was also just refreshing, you know, that this character in particular, you know, was African-American. So for me, that was just an honor.
And do you know that the character was not written for an African-American?
I was going to ask you that.
No. It was like right after the writer's strike, Castle, the pilot came, and there really wasn't anything for anyone to do around town. It was just kind of like quiet, and little things were popping up. So I spoke to my manager and agent, and I was like, look, we're going to have to step out the box here. Can you, like, see if they'll be willing to see an African-American actress for some of these roles that aren't written for them? And they called up the casting, Miss Donna,
and hey, Donna.
And she, you know, she checked with everyone. They said, yeah, she can come in. It was early in the morning, and I was the only African-American actress there.
Wow.
One line. It was just supposed to be a guest star with a possible recurring in the pilot. And it was just like, I think it was two lines that I had.
Do you remember what the two lines were?
Castle? Richard Castle, I'm your biggest fan. And then something about when the sunflowers, I can't remember, were covering the person's eyes. I was talking some medical stuff that I can't remember right now. It was really good. I got a chance to hang out in New York because we shot the pilot in New York. Mm-hmm. And I just meshed with everyone so well. And it was like, you guys let me stay here for the whole entire duration of the pilot and only had one day of work. That was awesome. And then it just was like, you know, the show got picked up. I was getting ready to test for Hawthorne, Jada's show.
Okay, yeah.
And we called ABC and we're like, okay, we know this is a possible recurring, but she's getting ready to go and test in for Hawthorne. We just want to see if it's still going to be recurring because we'd have to let them know. And ABC was like, no, your series regular now over here. So it was like a jump. I didn't have to go test. I didn't have to do anything. They made me a series regular. They have been so wonderful to me. The stuff they've given me, Lainey's grown every season, and I never expected what I've gotten. And I'm so grateful that she has a place and that people do like her.
That's She's amazing. Easy to like. I mean, because, you know, like you said, you're the medical terms and what you do at work, but she's also quick with calling people out on certain things. And she's, I mean, that's fun to watch. I mean, that's the lightheartedness that you need in the show. And I like that about her.
Yeah, you've called out Beckett a couple times, you know, and kind of had the little woman to woman talk about a couple things that I enjoy.
Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to be her best friend on the show. You know, we do what best friends do. I wouldn't want my best friend just letting me get away with murder and not let me know when I'm not doing right or what I should be doing. Even if it's their opinion and I don't want to listen, I still need to hear it, you know, and I love how they write that dynamic between Lainey and Beckett.
I think that's so great, though, to know that you were not even supposed to be like the character that you are, to think that that was only supposed to be a couple lines, because your character in the show is not at all like displaced. Like, it's not like, well, obviously they need a medical examiner, so we'll have her talk. You know, like, you're so relative to everything that's going on. And like you said, your best friends, like, it makes sense. Like, it seems like it wouldn't work without you being in there. So to think that that's like, that was just supposed to be a one. That's crazy to even know that they brought it on because of you.
They were awesome. I mean, Armie and Bernstein, Rob Bowman, Andrew Marlow, like, they all, Andrew's wife, Terry, they all were very welcoming. They were like, yes, you're a part of the Castle family. I'm like, I am. And I'm happy. Like, this is the best experience I've had in television, and I've worked on many television shows and they've been all great, but this is like my secondary family.
When you look back to Tambla Jones, the little girl from Pasadena, California, did you ever imagine that you would be on primetime television? Was that one of your dreams?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing was, I always was an actress from coming out my mother's womb. I imitated all my family members. I would tell on them without even knowing I was telling on them, because I would do what they would do. And they're like, who'd you see do that? Auntie Carrie. So, you know, that was it. And then I got older and it just turned into improvs at 1 o'clock in the morning, dressing up in my brother's clothes and painting a eyeliner mustache on and going in my mom's room. Yo, what's happening, baby? How you doing? You know, her putting me in acting workshops, me going to school with Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
And Jaleel White. I went to a fundamental school, so it was 6th through 12th grade.
Oh, okay.
Seeing them, going to school with them, knowing that they're doing it, I'm like, I can do that too. They were my inspiration to, like, really go for it. And so one of those workshops, I got lucky. There was a talent scout there who's worked for an agency, and they were like, we want to send you out a couple of times to see what happens. And the first job they sent me out on, I booked it, and it was an IBM commercial.
Wow. Speaking of doing it, can we talk about you and Esposito?
Yeah, we can talk about me and Esposito.
I'm upset because season 3, you guys got together, and it was on the low. And you guys will have this little thing where you would kind of kiss sometimes. And then if you saw somebody, you kind of, you know, disperse and not, you know. But then last season, all of a sudden, you just broke up. What happened?
I think Lainey is a little bit of a commitment phobic. I think something happened to her in her past, which I hope we get into this season at some point.
I hope so, too, because I thought you two worked well together.
I thought we did, too. But, you know, Lainey, she's a tough girl. And I'm assuming that this is my thought, that maybe she was married and the husband cheated on her. And she was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm just going to dive into work and not really worried about it. And maybe Esposito caught her off guard. And she really liked him. But when the M word came up, when are you two getting married? It was like, ah.
No.
You know,
please
like,
don't make us.
This is not going to happen. He wanted to, and she was like, I'm not even thinking about that. I just like the sex and the company, you know. Right. But I think something happened to her in order for her to be that cut off. Because women, we want love. We want to be in a relationship and married and have kids. Something happened.
Do you want to see them get back together to, like, the point of marriage?
Maybe not the point of marriage, but yes, because, you know, now Beckett and Castle are together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Esposito and Lainey get back together like that so quickly.
Right.
I want them still to be like a little chase, and for something, maybe Esposito does something and it just melts Lainey's heart. And she just doesn't have a choice but just to fall in line. I don't know.
But now you have Castle and Beckett, who are trying to keep their relationship on the low, just as you and Esposito was doing in season 3.
Yes, but next week you're going to see... You're going to see some juicy stuff happening. You're going to see all of us prodding. We're all going to be trying to figure out who are you seeing? Because you're glowing right now. This is not the Beckett I'm used to seeing. You're a little preoccupied with something. Like, you're going to see, everybody wants to know, because we can tell the difference from hardcore Beckett to something's a little soft.
Okay, well, we're going to get we're going to try and get something out of you doing predictions, but just a couple more questions. Twitter. You were doing a Twitter feed today. You were doing like a live Twitter. What's the response of some of the fans, and what have they been tweeting in regards to this season, and what are they expecting, and just what's your experience with that?
They loved the episode. They thought it was awesome. People are like up in Indonesia and Australia tweeting. There was somebody in Spain. They're like, I'm staying up to like 4 o'clock in the morning just so I can see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. Like, they were so excited and so happy with the outcome. And they were a little bummed out that Lainey wasn't in this episode. But I'm like, you know, Lainey can't always be there.
But she should.
She should. And I'm grateful for the times that she is. Mm-hmm. But some of the content of the show, it's like, we only have 45 minutes really to tell all of this.
Yeah.
It's like an hour show, but with commercials, mm-hmm. we only have 45 minutes. And you got to get all this stuff out. If Lainey had been in this episode just to maybe go collect, what's his name?
Michael
I forgot
Smith.
Already. Michael.
Michael Smith, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Michael. You know, I mean, it wouldn't have been a point for her to be there. And he's going straight to the hospital, and he's not dead. You know what I mean? It was like the only dead body, he blew up to smithereens. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And then sometimes they bring in another Emmy, Perlmutter, who is a little bit more scientifical. He is more on the nerdy side of medical examination, when Lainey's like, look, this is what happened, and I'm sure the murder did this and he did that, and you suspect he's not right, because, you know,
right.
Perlmutter is more technical. Mm-hmm. So I have to share my time with him as well, and I think he's great on the show too. I would love to see more Lainey as well, but I'm grateful for what I have.
Nice. Okay, let's go into news and predictions. Okay, so prediction. So as you were saying, that there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens. One of the things that we did see was that you allude to the fact that they're having sex.
Oh, you saw that?
Yes.
Yeah. That was in the video.
Yeah, because, you know, we're girlfriends. If you were my best friend and we were hanging out like all the time and talking all the time, and then I don't see you for a period of time,
you would know.
I would know something's up, and I would ask you what you've been doing.
I do love that that Castle chimes in on that, though. He's like, yeah, Beckett, who are you having sex with?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the preview.
Is there any other insights that you can give us? Any news, any scoop?
There's a real fun episode coming up.
Okay.
Where all of us actually get to play to the camera. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. It's like a documentary type thing going on. It's about a rock star who they were already documenting his tour, and he gets murdered. So they're still documenting.
So like confessionals almost, like of what everyone thinks about it, or?
No, they're just there documenting the whole thing. And Lainey kind of allows it, because normally the documentation wouldn't happen at a crime scene or anywhere else. But Lainey, I think, is intrigued by the cameras.
And the rock lifestyle.
Castle gets intrigued by the cameras. And then, you know, when the cameras are around, everybody's like, hey, right. How are you? You're going to see some fun stuff. You're going to see some more mystery, some more sexiness, some more attitude. And I hope that they really dig into, I've been pushing this, I mean, like, for 2 seasons now. Could you guys see Pam Grier as Lainey's mom?
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, I would like her to come in the morgue and bust Lainey out. Like, I haven't talked to you in 3 months. You haven't picked up the phone. And then you get to see where Lainey gets her sassiness. I'm just saying. I don't know.
That would be amazing.
So, will we see you with another man besides Esposito?
I've hinted to that too, because that might make Esposito like go into full gear and make Lainey melt, because that's who she really loves. So I've ran into Dwight Howard a couple of times. Comic-Con was the first time last year, and he was like, I want to come on your show. And then I ran into him.
I can't compete with that dog.
I ran into him recently at a restaurant. Again, he was leaving and I was coming in. He was like, yo, you never hooked me up. Ooh. So I have put him and Andrew in contact. And Andrew's open. He's like, yeah, we can figure it out. So
Dwight.
Could you imagine?
Do you imagine see this happening? Oh, my goodness.
I would love that.
I can see that. I can see
because he would be that fire that Esposito needs just to kind of get up in him so that he can finally get back to business here.
You heard it first.
Well, I mean, I'm not making any promises.
I'm saying that you heard it first, that there's a possibility, that L.A. Laker, Dwight Howard, might.
Yes, new L.A. Laker.
Yes.
This could be in the works.
Big news.
Could be big news.
Okay.
Well, I'll keep you guys posted and see what happens.
Well, thank you for stopping by and being a part of our Castle Recap here on AfterBuzz TV. It's been a pleasure. Just really quickly, I want to just also congratulate you guys, because you guys had won Best TV New Crime, Best TV Crime Show for the People's Choice Awards in 2012. And so congratulations to that.
Thank you.
And we hope to see a lot more of you and your character. And let everyone know that anyone is welcome to come on AfterBuzz and recap with us. And you're always welcome to join us again.
I will definitely love to come back, and I will let all of the Castle crew and cast know that they need to stop by here and come check you guys out too.
Yes.
Let everyone know where they can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tamala Jones. They're all A's in my name, T-A-M-A-L-A Jones. Some people put an E in there and you can never find me.
And then why don't you guys go ahead and give your social media?
Yeah, if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Samantha_Laich, L-A-I-C-H.
Yes, and if you would like to follow me, you can follow me at Paige Sull, P-A-I-G-E-S-U-L-L.
And you can follow me, Bam Erickson, B-A-M-M-E-R-I-C-S-C-N.
Yay. All right. You can follow AfterBuzz as well, all of us here at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter.
All right, so you guys, again, thank you for watching Castle AfterBuzz Recap with our special guest, the acclaimed actress, Tamala Jones.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. TV.